Hi, I'm Colin. I'm an alcoholic.
Colin.
Shit, begin at the beginning. Well, it's my belief that I was born an alcoholic. I was born April 21st, 1989. My mother's name is Alice Smith, and my father's name is Joseph Colby. 95% of the men on my mother's side of the family are alcoholics. And that's what leads me to believe that I was born with this disease. I had a pretty normal childhood, you know. I grew up in the suburbs of Detroit. I had a single mother. You know, my mother was my father's mistress. And, you know, she had me and decided to keep me. But growing up, like, I always felt different, you know. I, like, always relate to that part of people's story where, like, I never felt like I fit in. As far back as I can remember, I felt that way, you know, like, kindergarten, first grade, just feeling, like, uncomfortable, like, in social situations. And then, you know, like, elementary school, I figured out that if I was, like, disruptive in class and, like, rowdy, you know, people would laugh, and laughter equated to people liking me. So, you know, like, I was a rowdy kid. I wasn't in team sports. Yeah. And then, like, that transitioned into, you know, smoking pot really well. When I started smoking weed, I remember specifically, like, the first time I took a toke, like, and you get that burning feeling in your chest, and then I coughed a lot, and when I stopped coughing, I looked at my buddy, and I was like, dude, we should do this every day, and we did. We smoked weed every day, and life was good, because I found relief. Like, my mind shut off, I felt a part of, like, everything was good when I was stoned. And life continued for, I don't know, a half a year. My mom had me arrested. She found a bag of weed in my house and in her house, excuse me. And, you know, turned me into the police. And, you know, I had to, like, do this scare straight program. And I remember, like, I'd count the days. I knew when, like, I was done with it. And I, like, had them, like, tallied on my calendar, because that's how long I had to wait till I could smoke pot again. Yeah, and then started smoking weed again. Life was all right again. And that, a couple months later, I started drinking. And, like, when I started drinking, like, I found what I was looking for. Because, like, it calmed me the way that pot did. But, like, girls would have sex with me, which was awesome. And, you know, I was like, this is the shit. So I'm going to do this every day. So at 16, like, I was a daily drinker and, you know, continued that way through high school. You know, sold pot and had some shitty job. And, like, I thought my life couldn't get any better. And when my mom had me arrested, I went to a Marijuana Anonymous meeting, and they gave me, like, this pamphlet, like, one of the newcomer pamphlets, and I actually had that tacked on my wall, and there was, like, 10 questions, and the stipulation was if you could answer all 10 questions, no, you weren't a drug addict or an alcoholic. And there was always one I could never answer. I had to answer yes, and that was, like, does it affect your personal relationships? And I'm like, yeah, but my mom's a bitch. So, like, that's fine. Yeah, continued on through high school. Had a couple run-ins with the cops while I was living in Michigan for, like, underage drinking. But it was never that big a deal. Like, nothing bad happened. My mom was a wonderful codependent woman. And, you know, she would just take care of me and you know, pay whatever fines I had to pay, and I could just continue behaving the way I behaved. Yeah. I moved out west to go to college, moved to Ogden, Utah, to go to Weber State, and went to class for about 3 weeks. And like when I got dropped off here, like I drove out with my mother from Detroit, and like it was on. Like, life was good. I could just drink whenever I wanted. You know, I could like have beers in my dorm room. Like it doesn't get any better. There's nobody to like tell me to like, you know, I'd never have to like hide a beer when my mom would come downstairs. You know, like there was nobody looking over me. So things were good. You know, I did a lot of psychedelics, smoked a lot of weed. Everybody smokes weed. And started fucking around with prescription drugs. And like I could get a job like when I was living here, because I was drinking. Like I'd wake up in the morning and I'd start drinking, and I could get a job, but I couldn't hold the job. You know, I think I had like 3 jobs and I went to for like a week, and it was like, yeah, I can't do this. You know, I'd get wasted and sleep through my alarm or whatever it was. Yeah. So like rather than like being responsible and getting a job, I was just like, I'll start stealing shit from people. So, you know, I stole a lot of, you know, textbooks and computers and, like around the university, and, was breaking into houses and doing whatever, like grabbing whatever I could get my hands on. And you know, like it was awesome. Like I enjoyed that just as much as I enjoyed drinking, because it was intense. It was an intense feeling. And when people would be like, "Man, dude, like you stole that fucking TV, that's crazy," and I'm like, "Yeah, dude, I'm Colin Smith. What you think?" But really, I just wanted to say, like, "Do you like me? Like, are you my friend?" Because like I just like I felt so alone. When I was the last few months of my drinking, I would wake up every morning and I would think like I'm gonna kill myself today, you know. And then the thought that would precede that was, no, I'll just get drunk instead. So I mean, like really, if I didn't have drinking, I probably would have killed myself. Anyways, you know, like I'm not a very good burglar, and got arrested and went to jail. And, you know, I'm in Weber County Jail, and I call my mom, and she's like, you know, read the Bible, click. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm so fucked. But, you know, she rescued me, and, she, you know, she bailed me out of jail and paid for my attorney and got me into treatment. And, like, I didn't think I was an alcoholic. You know, I'm like, things got a little crazy. But, like, the way that I drink is totally normal. And if you don't drink the way that I drink, you're a coward. That was, like, my thought process. And so, like, all through treatment, like, I'm not an alcoholic. This is bullshit. I'm going to drink again. Yeah. I didn't want to get in any more trouble. Like, the consequences were enough for me to, like, suffer through and wait. I got sentenced with 2 consecutive 0 to 5s if I didn't complete probation. So, like, I had a little bit of fear. And, like, after I got out of treatment, I went to a sober house in Salt Lake. And, you know, like, I was willing enough to follow the rules. And this dude, when I was in treatment, told me to pray for the willingness to be willing. And I started doing that. Like, as soon as I got sober, I started praying that. And, like, I think part of it was my ego. And, like, I wanted to prove that, like, I could work the 12 steps and then start drinking again, you know, because it wouldn't work. But, you know, I'm like, all right, I'll give it a fair shake. So I prayed for the willingness to be willing. And, like, I was willing to, like, go to 12-step meetings and, like, get a sponsor. And you know, like I didn't really work the steps for a while, You know, like I'd get a sponsor and I'd like get up to four and be like, yeah, I'm not trying to do that. Like, you know, and I was miserable. Like it was terrible. I wanted to drink every day. It was like right around my 9-month anniversary, I had the flu and I had a fever and I'm like in my bed, like with the covers up to here, but I'm like shivering, you know, and like sweating bullets. And I'm thinking about how when I start drinking again, it's going to be different. And I had this epiphany, like, fuck, normal people don't think this. And I'm like, shit, I'm an alcoholic. And, like, when I said that, like, I had relief immediately. You know, it was like I had something, I had sobriety, and it was worth going to any lengths for. You know, I believe that was when I had my spiritual experience. When I fully conceded to my innermost self. So I got to work, you know, I got a sponsor, I worked 12 steps. I started sponsoring other guys. And like, it's given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. You know, shortly after I got done with the 12 steps, I started working at a wilderness program, which was like my life goal at the time. Which tells you how mentally ill I am. But, like, that's what I wanted to do, and, like, that's what I achieved. And then, you know, like, I worked wilderness for a year almost, and then I moved into my truck, and, like, I've had this awesome time. You know, like, I've been homeless for 2.5 years now, and it's the promises coming true, man. You know, and, like, I get to travel all over the country and, you know, do really cool things. This last summer, I walked from the Mexican border to Bend, Oregon, and met, like, some of the most fantastic people I've ever met in my life. You know, like, when I reach my hand out, people are there to help me. Like, when I came back into Salt Lake, like, I'm broke because I've been unemployed for 6 months. And, you know, I don't have a job because I quit my job, but, you know, like, people give me places to stay, and, like, it's all because, of the fellowship. My relationship with adult males is, like, the most important thing in my life. I have two mentors. One lives in, southern Utah, and my sponsor lives in Denver. And, you know, I wouldn't trade those relationships for anything. It's just like a real personal relationship, like, that I can't describe, that I've never found, like, before now. And we talk a lot about manhood, you know? And that's really important to me because, like, I was such a child when I showed up to the 12-Step Fellowship and, you know, like, I've been able to walk into manhood in Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. Life is good. I mean, I get to do cool shit all the time. I guess that's all I got. Was that 15 minutes?
Yeah, dude, that was good.
All right, cool.
Thanks, Colin. Yeah.